Blog Talk Radio.
I have this feeling, man, because you know there's a handful of people actually run everything. That's true. It's provable. It's not a fuck. I'm not a conspiracy nut. It's provable. Handful, very small elite run and own these corporations, which include the mainstream media. I have this feeling who's ever elected president, like Clinton was, no matter what your promises you promise on the campaign trail, blah, 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 when you win, you go into this smoky room with the 12 industrialist capitalist scumfucks who got you in there, and you're in this smoky room, and this little film screen comes down, and a big guy in a cigar, roll the film. And it's a shot of a Kennedy assassination from an angle you've never seen before. That looks suspiciously off the grassy knoll. And then the film, the screen goes up, and the lights come up, and they go to the new president. Any questions? Just what my agenda is. First we bomb Baghdad. You got it.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
Okay, does that work? Can anybody hear me? Is there anybody out there? Trying to reconnect. I've been told that there was no audio coming through earlier. I guess I should probably talk so people would know whether I'm going out or not. Yeah, if you can, anybody who's connected with me on Facebook right now who's listening to the show, you can give me a heads up that you can hear me. Because I've had a report from a listener that my voice wasn't coming through. Do, 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 do. Don't know why there's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather. I wish. Rained all day yesterday, and that okay, I'm told I'm on now. So while I was babbling, everybody heard that. They didn't hear the absolute brilliance that was coming through the coming onto the internet before. Okay, what was I talking about? I don't even remember. By the way, thank you, JR, for the heads up. There was no brilliant repair job. I did the Microsoft method. I turned everything off and turned it back on. So I guess we'll never know. I had muted the microphone earlier, and it wasn't muted, but maybe it was something about having muted it that made it get all goofy. I also haven't tried that. Well, no, that's not correct. I have played two audio clips before, so can't blame that. I mean, I could, but it wouldn't be logical or accurate. What I was complaining about earlier was the fact that it's kind of hot in October, but that's seemed weak when I wrote it down, and even weaker when I was talking about it the first time. Now it seems it's pretty positively tepid, but it's a little crying, a little pity party on my part. I'm just not a sun merchant. In fact, I believe that the sun has it in for us. The sun has either taken orders from Mother Nature, or is working in spite of Mother Nature to make sure that humankind doesn't make it out of this generation. Because you can just feel the aggression of the sun on the back of my neck every time I go out of the house. And heat in summertime simply is not going to let go. I mean, we're expecting 4 80-degree days next week, second full week of October here in the Midwest. We're expecting 4 80-degree days. And then the third full week of October, which is October the something, to the 15th, I believe, is also expected to be 80 degrees. So like five of the next nine days, however you count it. Going to be definite summertime temperatures. And frankly, I'm tired of it. I want to know who to complain to. Who's in charge of weather? Probably it'd be at least a Hindu god, because there's a Hindu god for everything. And probably a Catholic saint in charge of weather. Other religions, other factions probably could get you there the same way. There is a silver lining in this. If I was off the whole time, I'd played this cut. It was something that Bill Hicks did, a rather prophetic and cynical political comedian. I don't know, I'll put him in a box. He wasn't exclusively a political comedian, but something that seemed to me to be kind of applicable to our present situation. I played that, and then I played one of Iggy's little things about with Insights Radio, which you will never. My point was going to be I can use those again now because nobody heard them, and no one will be the wiser. Of course, what happens to my audience of millions and millions who, first of all, heard the rerun last week, and then the silence this week, and may just decide that Mudtoe is over. You know, well, Mudtoe's not over. If I can actually get on the air on time next week with a live show, perhaps I can prove that. But I guess maybe something's kind of lit a fire under my butt here just lately. It's a lot of businesses that I like here in town have been disappearing on me. Mostly restaurants, which, you know, I don't really have any business eating in restaurants anyway, but places that I kind of liked, and I liked the people. I did like them. And there are people there that I liked, you know, people there that I don't know what's going to happen to them now, because they're basically out on this. I don't know that they're out on the street. I suspect that many of them, especially servers, are out on the street. Cooks probably able to find something else. Owners obviously going to go on to bigger and better things. But you just walk up. Sometimes you walk up to a place and it's gone. Sometimes they lie to you. There's a note in the window that says, you know, remodeling. And they weren't remodeling. They were closed. And things that get knocked down, you know, not so much those kind of things, not so much because a lot of them are already like in malls and stuff. But mom and pop places and such, they get knocked down and they put up new buildings to take their place. And then new people come to fill the jobs. And you know, it doesn't the jobs come back at least partially, but it doesn't do any good for the people who were displaced here on the West Side, because they generally aren't the ones who are asked to come and fill those jobs. And I'm sure that it's the same where you are. I'm sure it's the same all over. It's getting worse. It gets worse sort of with each day that passes. And what hope do I offer? Because I should offer hope because I had a good week. This has been a good week. I went and I finally applied. I've wanted to do this. I've thought about doing this for the 4 years that I've been in, 4.5 years that I've been, oh no, four years that I've been unemployed. I was going and applied a temp place. And I had applied at temp places the previous time I was unemployed back around 2000. And I just never got very far with it. And other people whom I'm not sure if they were actually in a position to know or not, but they told me it was because of the sort of advanced state. You know, they want a typist. You know, they don't want somebody whose brain is going to be working. They want somebody who's going to transcribe, and that's it. But I went to this. I was at the library to print a ticket because I'm going to a job fair next week. Completely unrelated, but I need to print the ticket, and I owed some information to my landlord. Anytime I make money, I have to let them know so that they can charge me more rent. And that's, you know, that's fair. I'm not bitching about it. If I'm making money, I should be paying rent. But in any case, I went to the library and I printed all this stuff out. As I came out, I noticed there was a person at the desk. It was a name that I recognized. I'd seen around before. And it's a temp service, but it's not an office temp service. It's warehouse service. And it's not, you know, it's pick and pack, or is it just pick pack? I don't know. It's taking stuff, you know, off the shelves and putting them in the boxes, or, you know, it could be, you know, filing stuff in the boxes or whatever. And then there's office jobs as well. And the odd thing is, you know, I actually have worked in a warehouse before. When I first came to my city here, the first job I had was at the library book depository, which is where they have books that, you know, they don't have room for them on the shelves, but they don't want to throw them away. They want to make sure they keep them in case, you know, somebody asks for them. And it's to have this massive building where they keep them all, and it looks, you know, a little bit like the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know, thing. You put them in, and you file the books away by number. You don't do it, you know, alphabetically or by title. It's just given a computer number, and it's based on size more than anything else, because they want to pack as many books into as small as place as they possibly can. And it's extremely important that you put the book back, you know, where it's supposed to be, because if you don't, you're probably never going to find it again. Because as I say, you know, it's not by title, you know, it's not by subject, it's not by author, it's just by this, you know, kind of serial number that you put on them when they come in. So, you know, they drilled that into us, and I got to learn how to drive a lift truck, which is something I had always wanted to do, because the people when I was working in industry, the people who drove the lift trucks were very, very powerful people. And, you know, if you needed something to, you know, taken down from a high shelf, because, you know, at the places I worked anyway, it was a union thing. You know, you couldn't just jump on it. Well, first of all, you had to be certified, you have to have safety training and all that. But even if you've got all of that, you're still not, you know, it's not your job certification. It's a scary union thing. You know, you could be grieved and all that. If you're taking a union guy's work, if you jump on the lift truck. But here I had the opportunity to get on the lift truck and drive that thing into the shelves there that were just barely wide enough to accommodate that thing. And I managed to never wreck that thing once. Now, some of my coworkers wrecked the lift truck now and then, but I never did. I had a perfect safety record, and would have been, you know, happy to stay there. But what happened was, you know, during the summer, the workload obviously drops off at the university, but to keep, you know, the funding and the number of people they want, you know, working, and they want to keep, they want to pare back their number of people in the summer because they don't know, maybe they might not be able to get them back for the fall. So it's make work time. And that is just, you don't want to be, yeah, go in and, you know, make sure these books are there. That's just the pages go in. Yeah, it's there. Yeah, it's there. Yeah, it's there. man, I cannot, I don't know how much longer I can do this. And I was saved, and this is what's happened to me. I was having the same conversation with Twyla last week, my friend Twyla Evening Star, that every job I've ever had has just fallen into my lap. And as it happened, I had been, the previous fall, I had been in Haiti with a group of people from the university, and I had my camera taking a lot of pictures and a lot of videos, and they were working with school teachers. It was school teachers, teachers from here, people who educate school teachers here in the States, working with teachers in Haiti, where they really don't have a formal teacher education program. The main requirement for being a teacher there is that you finish the grade that you're teaching. So if you finish third grade, you can teach third grade. So we're working with the teachers, particularly in teaching kids in their native language, which is Haitian Creole. Mostly they're taught in the official language of Haiti, which is French. But most people in Haiti don't speak French. They speak Haitian Creole, which is similar but not the same. So it was good to be able to work with them. I took a lot of videos. I took a video of a teacher reading a book that they had prepared, the professors had prepared. It was a second grade reading level book that was written in Haitian Creole. And the translator told me this is probably the first time these kids have ever been read to in their native language. And it was really amazing to be a part of that. One of the teachers that was there was a science teacher named David Howery, and he's very big in the science education, educating science educators business. And I was hoping at some point he would become my academic advisor, and that never happened. But it was something I really would have enjoyed working with him. The thing is, we got to know each other in Haiti, and then when we got back, a job opened up in his department, and he thought of me. So he rescued me from, searching, make sure all these books are there. I went over, and that's the way I had that job in with the science and math teaching students, marshaling their technology and their equipment. Job I had there for 5 years until, and that was the job I speak so glowingly of, the job that I miss so much. But and it kind of fell in my lap, and then so I'm thinking, with this this temporary agency, and it's connected to warehouse, and I wasn't 100% unhappy at the warehouse, and something that's dropping into my lap, do I say no? I'm not even going to consider it. Something that almost happened with the Crocs thing I was talking about a few weeks ago, although that didn't work out. But it's, this has come along and is being, held out to me. Do you want to take this? And I gave it my best shot. It didn't happen. So I figured I'll give this my best shot and see what happens. If nothing else, maybe it's an attempt to hire. So it's like 90 days temporary. And then they decide whether the client decides whether they want you or not. And at that point it would become full time and benefits and all of that. So, if nothing else, the recruiter was saying they're really hurting for people. So if nothing else, maybe it becomes that holiday job that I'm looking for, because there isn't going to be anything at OSU during that time. All right, let me thank you for tuning in to an abbreviated version of the Midnight Garden with Mudtoe Sasquatch. Thanks again to JR for pointing out that my signal was apparently not going out. Hope you enjoyed the what you did hear of the show, and we'll come back next week to hear some more. So once more, thank you, and have a pleasant good evening.